but roasted in fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it till morning you shall burn with fire.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on April 9, 2025, and is titled, The Lamb. We'll be starting in Exodus, so grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Just as we need to complete the sacrifice of the Lamb in Exodus 12, so was the completeness of the crucifixion of Christ. That His death, His blood, was sufficient to completely cleanse all humankind of all sin, all insurrection, all iniquity, all sickness and disease. It was complete. And it was done, never to be done again. It was finished. This lamb they crucified in Exodus 12 will never be used again. Not one part of him, because the next day he is gone. Never again will God send his one and only begotten to die for the sins of men. Never again will anybody, with any sacrifice, anything, accomplish the completion of the eradication of sin for all humankind. Never again. Jesus Christ, our only hope for a completed sacrifice. And so, he said, now eat it with your belt, your staff, your shoes. Sounds a lot like Ephesians 6. Wear your helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and your hand shod with the readiness of the gospel. Get dressed, get ready, we're going somewhere. This Passover was not about sitting still and simply waiting on God. This was about preparation to make a move. Are you prepared to make a move? Do you feel a shifting in the atmosphere? Are you ready for change? That's my question to the church. Are you satisfied with the status quo? Are you ready for a change? The Lamb has come. Get dressed. Get ready to go. Get ready for what's coming. And he says here, this is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land. I, God, will pass through the land of Egypt, and on that night I will strike the firstborn in the land, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. How do you think the atmosphere in Egypt was that evening? About midnight. I bet it's pretty loud. Children are dying everywhere. Animals are dying everywhere. If you had a firstborn mouse in your house, he fell over dead. Man and beast. Quite a night when you got a guy telling you what God wants you to do. Kind of trying to tell you what's coming. You think anybody got a little bit nervous? You think anybody tried to call 911? I'm going to say that was a night to get your shorts wadded up, and you'd probably stayed wadded up most of the day. Wouldn't you say? Would you say that the Israelites of that time, who willingly went and slaughtered a lamb and put the blood and cuddled up with their families and some of their neighbors and a few of their servants in the house, do you think it was hard for them to stay hooked? What do you think? Do you think they worried about what was going to happen? I mean, you can hear the weeping and you can hear the wailing. People are going berserk. Yet you got to sit right here. And you got to be okay. That's called doing the hard stuff. That's called doing the hard stuff. It's what we're asking you, America, today. That's what I'm asking you, church. Is there any way we can find enough mustard on our hot dog to do the hard stuff? Last year when I came before you and it was 21 days between Passover and Easter, there's finally this three-week gap that I can't fill and I've got a problem. And y'all helped me with my problem because I was afraid. You helped me. I knew right from wrong, but I was afraid. And y'all helped me with my problem. Because y'all helped me, I've been screwed up ever since. And I'm not afraid anymore. Why? Because this backs up every nickel. Every nickel. But you got to do the hard stuff. This journey, I just got through talking to, he's probably watching tonight, good friend and a pastor and good guy. He was here back when we did the little conference thing at Passover. We were talking tonight, and he just called up to thank me for sticking my toe in the water on Passover. And everybody's been following along and to encourage me. Because I'll tell you right now, there's not everybody wants to do this. I'm telling you right now, we have to. If we don't ever get this right, nothing will get right. We have a facade of believing we're okay, but we're not okay. We are not okay. We're idolatrous. We've got false doctrines. We're liars about Jesus. We're liars about many facets of Christianity. We lie to each other. We're not okay. But we're blessed. But we're not okay. Passover, I believe with all my heart. That's the only reason I do that. I believe this with all my heart. This is a key component to our deliverance. A key component. As the church, God's people, generationally, it goes on to say, do this as an everlasting ordinance. Do this so you can tell your sons and daughters. Do this. What have we told our sons and daughters? Mom and dad? My mom and dad didn't tell me about Passover. No, Easter was one of the 2 days we went to church. They didn't tell me about Passover. You know why? They didn't know. The first 300 years of Christianity, they knew. They honored the Passover. Until somebody came up with a better idea. And like sheep being led to the slaughter, we've become a generational disaster because we forsook the everlasting ordinance and we failed to find Jesus because Jesus is the Christ of the New Testament. No, sir. He's everything was created for him, by him, and through him. He's been here the whole time. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't come from anywhere. He put on our clothes to be a lamb. He put on our clothes to be a lamb. Look with me in Isaiah 53. I'm going to go through several scriptures now fairly quick, but Isaiah 53 has always intrigued me. Isaiah 53, God gives the prophet Isaiah a perfect depiction of the Son of God and the Son of Man. He gives a perfect depiction of how it's going to go at the Passover. It's amazing that he was a prophet to the Jews, yet when Jesus showed up in the flesh, after all the studying of Isaiah 53, they still missed the Messiah. I know some of that was by the hand of God, but some of that's just by the ignorance of men. Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is oppressed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. Hadn't done anything wrong. The most willing person to ever walk on the face of this earth to do the hard stuff. Because it's right. Not for profit. Not for fame. Not for glory. Because it's right. The Lamb did right. I told Robin tonight, I said, I'm pretty sure why the Lord has allowed me to have a sore throat today. I think if Jesus was telling this story today, he'd be very peaceful. That lamb knew how to be peaceful when it hurt. He knew how to be peaceful when it cost him everything. I don't think anybody needs to be jumping up and down and ranting and raving to tell this story. The lamb wouldn't do it that way. Go to John 1. Go to one of them places Murph already beat me to. John 1:29. John 1:29 and 36. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him, and I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Real quick. The Holy Spirit is what made Jesus recognizable by John. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes you and I recognizable as a child of the Almighty God. The Holy Spirit And he said in verse 35, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples looking at Jesus as he walked. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard what he said, and they followed him. Behold, the Lamb of God. You know what makes it difficult sometimes when we simply celebrate the resurrection? If we're not careful, it continues to be all about going to heaven. I'm already going to heaven. I already know where heaven's at. I dwell and live in the atmosphere of God, and so do you. Some people can see it and some people can't. Some people know it and some people don't. But it exists. The kingdom of God exists. And it's not far from us. It's revealed. At the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's through the Holy Ghost that all this is revealed. This is what's so important, that you know what day Passover is. So you know what day that Shavuot. And you also need to be mindful of Sukkot. He said these three feasts. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. Pay attention. Not so that you get religious again about it, but finding Jesus in this is key. And so, look in your Bible over to 1 Peter 1:19. 1 Peter, about a quarter inch to the right. First Peter, I'm going to start in 1:17. Some of these scriptures, if you've kept up with Coffee with the Colonel or our Bible study on Tuesday morning, we've been already in this. But 1:17 says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. I don't care if you've been going to church since Moby Dick was a minnow, since 3 days after God invented dirt and the moon was this big around. I don't care. Lest a man be born again, he will not see, nor will he enter the kingdom of God, and it's a spiritual rebirth. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're not redeemed by our performance. We're not redeemed by our attendance. And he said, you're not redeemed with silver or gold. Your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. You want me to read that one more time? Your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers. How did y'all learn to do Christianity? Come on now, don't let me lose you here. Same way I did. How many times I've never, like going in jail and stuff and doing some fourth day talks. Yeah, my first drug problem was my grandma drugged me to church. We knew from an early age how to do Christianity. You know, this is weird, but the first time that I actually heard anybody teach on tithing was my second grade teacher named Mrs. Jackson. I'll never forget her. She was really wise. She was really churched. But she actually told us second graders that we should give God 10% and that we should save 10% in the bank and that we'd be okay when we got old. That's a wise woman. She didn't team rope, but it's kind of hard to save 10% while you're spending 90. It's a little hard to do. But listen to this. We weren't redeemed by our traditions, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Move on over into Revelation. Now, maybe y'all notice I don't trickle around in Revelation very much. I don't think I'm smart enough yet. I don't want to be like a bunch of other guys and just guess at it and get it wrong. But let's go to Revelation 5. Revelation 5, verse 6. Let's see. I'm in the wrong book here. I got to get on over here a little bit. Revelation 5, verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Full representation of the Spirit of God summed up in a lamb from the throne room of heaven. Do you get that? A full revelation of the Spirit of God. You find the same depiction in Isaiah 11. The Spirit of God replicated by the Lamb of God from the throne of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Only a kingdom needs a throne, because only a kingdom has a king. And he looks like a lamb. Isn't that amazing? You cannot get this apart from the Holy Spirit. You cannot. I don't care how many books you read. I don't care how many preachers you watch on TV. Our Father in heaven has to reveal it to his children. Then it becomes yours. And you'll never unknow it. You will never unknow it. And he says here, then I looked in verse 11. And I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. I can't even say it. Worthy is the Lamb. Thousands upon thousands came together. Worthy is the Lamb. And we replaced him with a rabbit? You got to be kidding me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and the such as are in the sea, and all of them I heard saying, and the whole creation, blessing and honor and glory and power to him, be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Look over here in Revelation 7:17. Really, I'm going to start in 7:14. And I said to him, sir, you know, and he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Stop right there. I'm gonna screw up your mental image right now, because there's a pile of you right here today that are waiting on a 7-year period, and you think this group of people. But let me ask you today, how many of you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Raise your hand if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. How many of you believe that your sins have been taken away and your robe is white? How many of you know that when we reappear again after this physical death, that we'll wear a robe of white with a new name on it? Do y'all know that? I'll tell you what I want to do today. I'm going to blow your 7 years in the shorts. The 7-year leapfrog tribulation is a lie. The Antichrist is a made-up entity from five pieces of Scripture that do not tie to each other all the way around. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Revelation, and what's the other one? The Man of Lawlessness. Anyhow, better be careful about creating your own Antichrist. You better be careful about who you believe put an end to sacrifice and burnt offering, because 3.5 years after the baptism of Jesus, he died on the cross as the Lamb, and he put to an end sacrifice and burnt offering. He did it. And at the destruction of the temple, he raised another one. And here we are.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.